Hi, my name is Randy, and I would like to welcome you to this episode of Infotainment. Welcome to all the fun, festivities, and frivolity that this show can provide, and that my regular listeners have come to love. I'd like to welcome you, and especially you to the program. Well, let's get started. I don't like to waste time, because most listeners leave a podcast very quickly if they don't like it. So, past couple months have been a series of extremely bad news, which needs to be reported upon before I can become a little more humorous with my stories. Yesterday, I heard that the comedian Ralphie May has passed away from cardiac arrest in Las Vegas. I had seen a couple specials from him. I even borrowed a line from him. I hope he wouldn't mind. May he rest in peace. I used it on a podcast a long time ago where I, when George Clooney got married, that all the women now could pack up their vaginas and go home. And a lot of people laughed at that at work when they heard it. They were listening to that podcast. I am not married, so you can come here and unpack your vaginas and stay a while. And then I heard Tom Petty, American rocker, who founded one of the country's longest running and most successful bands, is dead at 66, according to his longtime manager. Tom Petty had suffered cardiac arrest at his Malibu home early Monday morning and was taken to UCLA Medical Center but could not be revived. Tony Dimitriadis, longtime manager of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, said in a statement on behalf of the musician's family. He died peacefully at 8:40 p.m. Pacific time, surrounded by family, his bandmates, and friends. The news came hours after TMZ first reported that Petty was found unconscious in full cardiac arrest at his Malibu home. CBS News later reported his death, but the outlet walked back that report as the Los Angeles Police Department issued a statement that it had no information on Petty's passing. Initial information was inadvertently provided to some media sources. The police department posted on Twitter, however, the LAPD has no investigative role in this matter. We apologize for any inconvenience in this reporting. TMZ followed up with a post around 1:30 p.m. PST. That Petty was still clinging to life, a report that the LAPD confirmed the singer's death is inaccurate. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers had just concluded their 40th anniversary tour, which Petty had said would be the band's last big country-spanning tour. The group played shows at Los Angeles Hollywood Bowl on September 21st through the 22nd and 25th. And earlier on Monday, Petty's official website posted a recap of the group's final shows. It's 1:22 a.m., and the last lighting, video, and sound cases are getting loaded up and pushed off the stage of the Hollywood Bowl, where Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers played three incredible sold-out hometown shows to close out the band's 40th anniversary tour. Reads the blog post. 53 shows, 24 states, 12 lighting crew, 11 truck drivers, 9 in production, 7 sound guys, 6 backline crew, 6 months, 5 opening acts, 3 countries, 3 riggers, 1 legendary band, and over 1 million legendary fans. Thank you to all. In August, a series of shows was postponed as Petty recovered from laryngitis. On Monday, a few hours before TMZ ran with the news, this throwback photo has been posted as to Petty's official Twitter account. Originally from Florida, Petty rose to fame as the frontman of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, whose 1976 self-titled debut featured his unique nasal voice and guitar work. His career, both with the band and as a solo act, spanned decades and included hits such as Rockin' Around With You, Breakdown, Free Falling, and Mary Jane's Last Dance. I really liked Free Falling, and I also probably liked even more his duet with Stevie Nicks. Stop dragging my heart around. I can't sing, so please excuse that. But may Tom Petty rest in peace.
Now let's move on to something completely different. I saw my first negative review of the Blue Yeti Pro microphone on YouTube today. This guy said that the microphone picked up too much extraneous noise compared to the one he was using. This guy did not mention that he edited audio. Also, he was sitting about 2 or more feet away from the microphone. So we will give it a test. That's why I leave some extra recording to eliminate extraneous noise. Now, this YouTuber did have a different setup than I did. I have it set up for a USB, where he had it set up as an XLR connection to his recording equipment. I did have a window open to see if it picked up that noise, and it did, but I sort of expected it to. He said that the Blue Yeti Pro picked up noise that you wouldn't even think that it would pick up, and maybe he's a little bit right, as I do see some noise in between my speech patterns that I do not know where that is coming from, because I shut my window and it is fairly quiet. But we will check that at the end of this recording. But maybe somebody with a little more expertise on YouTube can explain this technical phenomenon. I do not have the most professional setup in the world, so maybe it's somewhat different. Oh, there goes the train, so you'll probably hear that too. naturally, when I start recording, then the something has to make some noise from outdoors. But let's move on to something a little bit differently. I was thinking about renaming this show, but I may just keep it as What's Wrong With People Part 2. And this is about racism in Iowa. It's from Creston, Iowa. And this author had planned to write a much different and happier narrative about Kylan Smallwood, the junior quarterback at the heart of the Creston Orient Maxburg High School. It's a mouthful. Football team. That was the plan before Thursday's final hours, when the racial controversy roiling this town took another nasty turn that will only fan the flames. Smallwood, 16. Already had been hit with the heaviest week of his career as an athlete and student. When I met him Thursday afternoon in football practice, I hoped that he had already had endured the worst. Speaking with him and his family was inspirational. They were full of grace and insight in their reaction to what has become the most notorious and widely shared photo in the history of this small southwest Iowa town, the seat of Union County. You know the photo I'm talking about. Well, I didn't tell this story. 5 high school students and football players were pictured wearing white hoods that evoked the Ku Klux Klan, and one brandished a gun, and one held a Confederate flag. They stood next to a pathetic, gnarly little burning cross. They looked to be standing somewhere on a farm. Social media on Wednesday instantly spread the photo far and wide and thrust it into the middle of our heated national debate on race. Lately, we've been arguing about over everything from the neo-Nazi tragedy in Charlottesville, Virginia, to the visible scars of Confederate monuments strewn nationwide, including in Iowa. Smallwood is a towering 6'3" African-American young man, a popular basketball and football star, in a predominantly white town. But suddenly, he was confronted with five of his teammates posing in a racist photo, emulating a violent strain of white supremacists who routinely lynched blacks. I would see that kind of stuff like Charlottesville and think that's pretty messed up, Smallwood said. I never thought that would happen to our small town. I don't want to be playing with kids like that. Smallwood's coach, Brian Morrison, whom he deeply respects, kicked the five players off the football team. I thought these guys are my friends, Smallwood said. I've been to some of their houses before. I've talked to them. He wanted to ask why they posed for the photo. Smallwood hasn't gotten a chance. And then late Thursday, news spread that the threat of litigation might lead to the students' reinstatement on the football team. Morrison said late Thursday night, told the Des Moines Register reporter Lynn Ta, that lawyers are involved right now in the situation, but his stance remained that they were off the team. When I met him earlier in the day in Creston, Morrison, perpetually on the verge of tears, talked about how he was appalled and disturbed by the photos. It's one of those things that curdles your stomach, he said. I nearly went to bed Thursday night having written about hopeful signs and inspiring characters responding to the crisis. Smallwood's parents and older sister thought that justice had been done to see the five students kicked off the football team. Smallwood's father, Robert, is a black man raised in Prescott, Arizona. His mom, Danielle, is a white woman born and raised in Creston. The couple, both 44, met as fellow students at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. They moved to Creston 20 years ago when their daughter, Tana, was 4 months old. They made a conscious choice to raise their family in what they saw a safe, friendly environment of a small town. Creston mostly has lived up to that ideal. They said Robert remembers a strange look he got at first in the 1990s. Once people got used to seeing me somewhat different, it went away, Robert said. As a local mail carrier, Robert, by default, is one of the community's most visible members. He encounters his neighbors every day, face to face, as he walks down the sidewalks and onto their front porches. This week, he has been receiving hugs on his route. That's the silver lining, I could say, about the whole situation, Danielle said, is how much our town has come together. Some in the community would like to see the five students suspended or expelled from school, not just kicked off the football team, even before the threat of lawsuit. School officials stayed mum on that, citing student privacy restrictions. Danielle would prefer the students remain in school. I think that they should have to go and look at all the high school kids that they have hurt, she said. Whether they're black, white, whatever, they hurt a lot of people. I think they should have to go back and face that. When racism rears its head, we tend to say that it can happen anywhere, and that's true. But to his credit, high school principal Bill Messeroli didn't trot out that sentiment to downplay what happened. Even though this could happen anyway, anywhere, it happened here, he said, looking as distraught as his head football coach. So we've got to own this and move on in a positive way. By all accounts, the school and community at large were shocked by the brazenness of the photo. There were no other incidents in recent months preceding it. 5 years ago, I reported on a family that left Creston because they experienced widespread racism. It became a talking point when the mother of the family wrote a letter to the editor, published in the local Creston News Advertiser, declaring as much. Another woman wrote to agree, saying, "Racist jokes and phrases can be heard in every corner of the community." The Smallwoods said they didn't remember that, and it hasn't reflected their everyday lives. The first thing Danielle told her son after the photo cropped up, that she was very sorry this happened. She told him that she loves him. She told him that, unfortunately, this is the world we live in, and that she hated he had to learn this so early in life. Robert wasn't quite as shocked, having grown up in the South with the Confederate flag as part of the everyday scenery. He just didn't expect to see that sort of behavior in his adopted Iowa home, staged by kids he also knew. For this part, Kylan Smallwood called growing up in Creston perfectly fine. I've never had threats or anything, he said. Nothing like dealing with that kind of stuff. The word family came up a lot up in the conversation with the Smallwoods, school officials, and townsfolk. Smallwood and his 68 remaining teammates are using the photo, he said, as a way to bring us together as a family more. I know how these guys have my back no matter what. That's helped me a lot. Here's what you can take from this, Danielle also told her son. See how this community has rallied to support you and your family. Residents are not condoning the racism. They want to make you feel safe. And now you know who your real friends are. I also like something Robert said. The racists are the true minority. They still outnumbered. Even this Creston controversy now descends into a bitter legal battle, exacerbating pain for this football family and the entire community. We shouldn't lose sight of that. Now, with all the things going on, this is another thing that we just don't need, but it goes on. I remember the story I read quite a few podcasts ago about the guy who changed his name to Adolf Hitler. And now if he had seen some of the documentaries I've seen on Netflix, he might have changed his mind. Some of the scenes were very, very heart-wrenching and also gruesome. And I also did watch a program about one of the last Nazi hunters, and he was trying to chase down a person that they nicknamed Dr. Death, who used a human skeleton as a paperweight and also used human skin to cover a lampshade. He would be in his 90s now, and he was looking for him in South America. Also reports that he was living in Egypt, and he had a son, I think, that's kind of hiding his whereabouts. They have not found this guy yet, alive or dead. They're kind of racing against time. And I also saw this one little program where these young people, they were 20-something, they were visiting some Nazis that were known to, their whereabouts were known. And most of them were very cordial, offered them drinks and sometimes dinner. And the youngsters didn't seem to want to ask the tough questions of them at that time. But some of those folks were arrested, they told, at the end of the program, which they should be. Most of them gave the response, I didn't see that. I was only following orders. And what do you say? There is still, I don't know if it's still going on or not, if he was sentenced to death or not, but there was one, a former Nazi that was on trial at one of the last major Nazi criminal trials to be held. But he, I don't know, can't say, remember whether he was pronounced guilty. I'm sure he was, but I don't know if he got the death penalty or not. But yeah, you just, and this Las Vegas shooting too, I don't, from racism to Nazism to the Ku Klux Klan to people that want to be known for mass shootings. And maybe that's the whole point of his doing that. He wanted to be known for that, being one of the most, being the largest mass killing that has happened to date. I don't understand that too, because this guy was very successful as an accountant. He also gave quite a bit of money to his mother and brother who could retire. And I don't understand why he would want to jeopardize their finances as well. I don't know if theirs can be touched in a civil suit or not, but I know lawyers have already been working on freezing the shooter's assets. We will see how that plays out. Now let's move on to something a little bit lighter. This happened October 3rd. A pair of naked Wisconsinites repeatedly ignored a cop's demands that they cease having sex in the backseat of a parked car. A brush-off that resulted in their arrest for engaging in lewd and lascivious conduct, according to police. A La Crosse resident yesterday called 911 around 3:25 a.m. to report a suspected prowler in an alley behind her home. When Officer Aaron Westfall
responded to the call. The resident said she had been awoken by the sound of two individuals having sex inside a car parked in front of her residence, and that she subsequently spotted an unknown subject peering into cars in the alley. As detailed in a La Crosse Police Department report, Westfall heard moaning emanating from a gold Pontiac Grand Am. The vehicle's windows were partially fogged, and it was rocking back and forth. The cop illuminated the car's interior with his flashlight and confirmed that they were naked and engaging in sexual intercourse. Westfall then told the couple, later identified as Bailey Puttkemery, 21, and Emily Scott, 20, to cease copulating and get dressed. At that point, I walked to the rear of the vehicle in order to give the two subjects some privacy while getting dressed, the patrolman noted. But when 5 minutes passed and the duo had not emerged clothed from the vehicle, the uninformed officer shone his flashlight into the Pontiac and determined that they were still engaged in sexual intercourse. Westfall again directed the couple to get dressed and exit the vehicle, as first reported by the La Crosse Tribune. Apparently not happy with having been interrupted, replied. He was told he was being cock-blocked. The cop then opened the car's rear door and again instructed the subjects to stop what they were doing and get dressed. Puttkemery, who smelled of booze, then allegedly tried to shut the door, telling the officer to go away. The male stepped out of the Pontiac naked. He became argumentative and accused Westfall of cock-blocking him and giving him blue balls, according to the report. Puttkemery then offered an explanation of sorts for his behavior. "You're a man, you should understand. It's Oktoberfest weekend." Well, who doesn't want to have sex in a car on Oktoberfest weekend? As the nude male argued with Westfall, he ignored the cop's direction to get dressed. With his underwear in hand, Puttkemery declared, "It's just a dick, nothing to be afraid of." When Westfall asked Scott why the couple did not stop having sex when asked, she replied that Puttkemery wanted to finish. Puttkemery and Scott, both of whom live in La Crosse, were each charged with lewd and lascivious behavior. Puttkemery was also hit with a disorderly conduct rap. They are both being held in La Crosse County Jail in advance of a court hearing later today. The four-day La Crosse Oktoberfest celebration, which ended its 57th run Sunday evening, included a parade, dachshund race, a beauty pageant, and lots of beer and people having sex in vehicles. So, that's funny. The guy standing there in front of the cop. It's just a dick, nothing to be afraid of. But I throw that in there after all the heaviness of the first part of the program. So now we will move on to another story.
I will leave you with some great news. The fans of the show Longmire on Netflix, season 6, has been announced. The release date that was Twitter fed today will be coming out November 17th. I was hoping for an October release, but best to know. I was looking forward to that release date so I can have a program that is binge worthy. And I must say that Katie Sackhoff can arrest me any day of the week. sorry, Carl. But I'm sure she's heard it all before. So, and we have a lot of unanswered questions on that program. Whether Henry Standing Bear makes it out alive after being staked out in the on the Crow Reservation. Whether Walt gets to keep his land, they find some new evidence to shut down that Tucker Bagot character. There's also the Walt and Vic story that I wish they would give a little more time to, but there's so much action and violence in Absaroka County that they hardly have time for a heart-to-heart conversation with Vic and Walt. Hopefully, some people said there was going to be a wedding in season 5. But I think that was confused when they saw a little snippet of the funeral footage for Branch Connolly or something like that. I don't know what gave them that idea. But I've searched a lot of the YouTube stuff on Longmire trying to find an accurate release date. But this is the most official thing I've seen so far. A lot of the actors I follow, and they gave it out today. That'll be good. Hopefully they will do movies. With the magic of movies and television, people can come back from the dead, as we have seen in the past. But I hope they don't kill off any of the main characters, except maybe that annoying Travis, who hounds Katie about her pregnancy, and he might not even be the father. That's going to be it for this podcast, and this will be released only to my Patreon webpage, patreon.com/infotainmentpodcasts. So this will be for paid patrons only. So I'm hoping the patch worked that Patreon promised, so everyone can listen to this program without it stopping. But if it does stop, please let somebody know at Patreon. I'll have to get all that information ready for the next podcast. But by the looks of the clock on the wall, I'm going to put this podcast to bed. I'd like to say thank you to you, and especially you for listening to this program. Whether you listen by laptop, desktop, all the eyes from Apple, MP3 player, Android phone. And I hope you have a pleasant day and a happy ending tonight. Bye-bye, folks. She was a drink, she'd be single barrel bourbon on ice. Smooth with a kick, a chill and a burn all at the same time. She's Sunday drive meets high speed chase. She ain't just a song, she's the whole mix. She's so complicated, that's the way God made her. Sunshine mixed with a little hurricane. And she destroys me in that t-shirt. And I love her so much in hers. I never meant to fall like this, but she don't just rain, she pours. That girl right there's the perfect storm. I know how to make her laugh or blush or mad at me, but that's okay. She's down, the highs match the lows.